The prophet Nathan did what the Lord told him to do. He went and confronted the king with his sin. And David said, I have sinned. Now, if you look at that like a biblical look on reality, none of the great heroes were heroes. Abraham doubted God. David committed adultery. They're not. In other words, God taught the Jewish people very early not to hero worship. These were the people God chose to form and ground and give existence to the people who still exist. But their greatness is God's work, not theirs. And that's why, and we have now this story, and that's why the child conceived of that adultery died. And I don't think they'll probably skip the rest of that, but we'll find out Monday. But it's very interesting to think that God's people don't need heroes. They have Jesus. They have the Father. And so the Jews tell about their great, you see, Matthew's gospel begins a genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of Abraham, son of David. These are the two who doubted. You remember when God promised Abraham, he was childless. I will give you great posterity, and you will have children. And Abraham said, yes, of course, my steward, because the law was if a man did not have children, that his steward would inherit everything. And God said, no, not that one. One from your own body. Come on outside. See those stars? Count them. That's how many your posterity is going to be. Here's a childless man already in his 90s. And he looked up and he believed God. And that was credited to him as the right way to relate to God. And that's why Paul takes that act of faith and makes it the model in Romans 4, for believing. Believing because God said it. That's enough. Daniel, the other one, son of David, son of David, also, you see, and that first child died. The second child was Solomon. My point is that the Old Testament teaches us that God never fudges the truth, but his mercy is so great that he can work with us sinners. And so that's, Nathan goes to David and tells this story. And finally, that man shall die. And Nathan says, that man is you. And he recognizes, and he says, you see, I have sinned against the Lord. The Lord on his part has forgiven your sin, you shall not die. But since you have utterly spurned the Lord by this deed, the child born to you must surely die. Then Nathan returned to his house. And if you remember, David prostrated on the floor, wouldn't eat or sleep, praying for this child until the child died. All the Gospels, this is all the synoptic, well, all the Gospels really, recount this event in our Lord's life when he came to them walking on the sea and calmed a storm. Why did he do that? He's trying to build their faith. They're going to have many storms in their life, and most of them are going to die martyrs. So they have to have a strong awareness that the Lord is Lord of everything. And so he woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" And the answer is, "No, we don't. Here I am, the Messiah, the Son of God, in the boat with you. And because of a little storm, you're all unglued. Where's your faith?" That, of course, is addressed to us as well. When things are not going well in the family, in the church, we tend to panic rather than pray and put our trust in the Lord.